A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Word Fountain Christian Ministries. Be blessed.
In the name of Jesus. Daddy, we pray for every soul, O Lord, that every soul will be blessed in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone that has come with questions here this morning? Holy Spirit, we pray that you give answers unto every question in the name of Jesus. Daddy, I will not be a victim of this assignment. Daddy, but I will be blessed in the name of Jesus. My family, my children will be blessed. Everyone here listening to you will be blessed in the name of Jesus. Daddy, we pray for victory here. We pray that there will be peace of heart, O Lord. Even as we hear you, Daddy, you will bring a breakthrough into every life in the name of Jesus. This congregation will be blessed. Far and above this door, Daddy, people will be blessed. Wherever the name of Jesus is called today, Lord, people will hear and they will hear in the name of Jesus. Daddy, you bless every soul and every heart in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For it is done, Daddy, we return all glory back to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please be seated, church. Thank you for coming into his presence this morning. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I'm sure you've come with gladness, you've come with joy, even to receive from him. And we pray that the Lord of heaven will speak unto you this morning. You will be blessed. It would make your joy to be full in the name of Jesus. As you've come to receive of him, it will speak to every situation in your life. And surely victory will be yours in the name of Jesus. I'll use this opportunity to thank God for his grace upon me, upon my life, upon this ministry. I want to thank our senior pastor, Pastor Dupe. I'm sure she'll be joining us later. She's in the other assembly. I want to thank our resident pastors for having the belief in me that I can do it. I want to thank God for his grace. And I want to thank everyone, all of you, this beautiful congregation, for joining us this morning. We've started well this month, and we are handling it well in the name of Jesus. Our theme for the month is Wonders of Biblical Stewardship. And this is from Luke chapter 19, from verses 11 to 26. When we talk about stewardship, we can see that we've talked and we've spoken about this severally here in the church. Pastors have ministered to us about it, our resident pastors, everyone involved. But you see, when we just, for the sake of those who are not here, we would try and go back to what we've discussed and have a clear knowledge of what we are talking about. When we talk about stewardship, I'm sure you have your own interpretation to what stewardship means. But, when we talk about biblical stewardship, this is God assigning unto us things which can be in our care and things that he trusted us that we can take good care of to keep those things. He said to us in Genesis, said we can enjoy, gave us dominion over everything which he created. He said we should enjoy it, make good use of it. But at the same time, we should take good care of it as well. We have free will to things, but that doesn't give us liberty to do it any way we can. So anywhere we found ourselves, it might be in the ministry, it might be at work, it might be at home, everywhere we found ourselves, everyone present here, there is something which God has given to us. It might be through your talent, through your ability. Anywhere you find yourself, you are looking after God's property. That is one thing we should have in mind. Then when we talk about biblical stewardship, stewardship itself, before that word could come, it has to involve two parties. This is what we need to understand. It's two parties. It could be yourself, it could be myself, and God, we should know. When we talk about layman's language, it will involve two parties. Exchange, and probably the reward will be monetary reward, services that we render to each other. Well, when we talk about the biblical one, it tells us about It tells us about what God has taken into our care for us to take good care of. So today, I would define what biblical stewardship really means. And, so many definitions has come. But I will just take, some simple ones. He said it is commitment of oneself and possession. It could be a gift. It could be talent. It could be ability. It could be a property to God's service, recognizing that we do not have the right of control over our property or ourselves. Another definition says stewardship is an ethic. It is an ethic that embodies the responsible planning and management of resources. The concept of biblical stewardship can apply to the environment. As we can see, it can apply to nature. When we talk of finance, economics, when we talk of wealth, when we talk of property, information sharing, all these things. Put it all together, and here comes stewardship in them. But church, let us carefully consider the background of biblical stewardship. Can anyone just remind me of what our team was in January this year? Our team, January team. Please. He alone. Can someone remind us? Our team for January. He alone works wonders. He alone works wonders. I love it. The way we did our team from January, February, March, April, May, June, it tells us, don't forget it, each month relates to one another. From January, it relates to February, February to March. But I'm taking us back to January. He alone works wonders. That's when we discussed about creation. That is when we talk about God, how powerful, how wholesome our God is. He created the heaven and the earth. He made every good thing, the plant, everything we have. And he created man in his own image. And having done that, he assigned man to have dominion over everything. He said to man, enjoy all these things that I have created. He's a wholesome God. After creating man in his own image, he now gave us dominion, authority over everything. And the first man then in the Garden of Eden was him, Adam. You see? So he gave Adam, but gave Adam some instructions. We know about it because of our time. We wouldn't go deep into that. But I'm only just telling us, please, let's check Genesis quickly. Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 27. Genesis 1. From verse 27. So I read. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And verse 28 says, God blessed them as said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the heart and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Verse 29, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruits with seeds in it. They will be yours for food. Can we see how powerful our God is? He created us in his own image. He gave us dominion that all these things, we should take good care of them. Church, that is where stewardship started from. There is no monetary thing in it. Just know that. He said to man, enjoy it. If man gives you that, you'll be paying for it. But that's God. God gave us. He gave us dominion. He said, rule over it. Well, it comes with something. It comes I love it that when school is a law of contract. You sign this contract, but it comes with rules. There might be exceptions sometimes when you go over the rules, but be careful. Before that exception comes in, that means you must have looked around all the loopholes, can't find any way. That's when you can justify. But here, God is saying to us, come, I give you all this. I've made you my own image. Take care of it. Can we see the principle of stewardship? That's where it starts from. So when we talk about stewardship, let's see. There is a master-servant relationship. Have that in mind. It involves two parties. There is a master-servant relationship. And with it comes with obedience. Remember, the master is giving his own word and his own time. You are agreeing to it. Whether you sign that contract physically, directly or indirectly, it doesn't matter. There's something binding. And that is what God is saying. That take this, I give you, but look after it. Because with it, so many things will come. But you have to look after it. But remember, everything belongs to him. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. It's the beginning, he's still the end. Even in the middle, he's there with us. But we have to realize that God Almighty created the heaven and the earth. So that is what Genesis is telling us. Let's quickly turn to John, please. Turn to John, to the book of John, chapter 1. And I'll read from verse 1. Are we there, church? John, chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. That's verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Can we see in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That's what the Bible is telling us. Church, everything on earth and in heaven belongs to him. Whether you have a wealth, you have acquired wealth through your sweat, through everything. Remember that God Almighty from the beginning gave us that power to acquire wealth. He gave us dominion. If he did not create man, there is no one will be boasting of any wealth on earth. Let's just have that in mind. If he did not give us that grace to have dominion, none of us will be boasting of any wealth. Everything in heaven and on earth belongs to him. We're still going on with this message. And the Lord planted eastward in the garden. That is Genesis chapter 2. We can go back to Genesis, please. In chapter 2, God is taking us into how, you know, it came about all this. And how he spoke his word and everything came to being. Just know that. In Genesis chapter 2, I'll read from verse 8. Please turn there from verse 8. And I read, now the Lord has planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he has formed. Verse 9, the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, tree that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. Remember, I will stop there. Remember, God warned Adam about that. He said, don't go there, don't touch it. People, there is a master, there is a servant. There is a relationship between them. And that is where stewardship comes in. With everything God has, he said, look after them, take care of them. But of this particular tree, do not touch. We're not going back to that. We know what happened there. But let's continue with our discussion. You know, God created and he gave. He created and he gave us for our own enjoyment. Remember, he planted and he placed us there. He said, this is the thing. I place you there. This is what I've created. Beautiful in the eye of everyone. Use it for food. Consume it. This is how you like it. For your own good. The above established and it shows us that God is the owner of everything. He has appointed man to oversee. Today we will be dividing biblical stewardship into segments, and we will talk about it. I mentioned two earlier. There has to be two parties when we talk about stewardship. And there comes obedience into what the owner of the property says to you that you have to do with it. Third, I will speak about trust. Before I can assign anything to you, I will have a tiny bit of trust. Even if I doubt you, I would still give you that benefit. That I trust this person with what I have. I'm giving this to this person. I want this person to look after it. You know, before you can show me the other side of you, you must have spent a bit of time on it. Then I know this person is not worthy of keeping what I give to him. Well, we can see what God is doing here. There was two parties to it. There was obedience. We have to obey what the master says is God. And he has to trust. There has to come trust. After mentioning all this, we've pointed about ownership, proprietary rights. That goes with number one, because there are two parties. There's the master, there's the servant. You see? So, proprietary right. And we see what it says. He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he put us in charge. God is the owner. We must know that. Brother Thurston has a car outside. He's enjoying it. He's the owner of his car. But how does it come? God has blessed him. He has to remember that blessing of God on him to acquire wealth, to get that money which he has to buy his car. He's looking after it. Brother, before Brother Thurston boasts of that car, we say, I give glory to God. That is biblical. That is the trust you have. For that person who gave you that ability, that strength to acquire that wealth, and you see he's enjoying what God has given unto him. That's what he's saying. But remember, that concept of ownership brings out right. I am the owner. If you know it, I am the owner. I'm only giving you. If I give you, sometimes we say it's possession, it's freehold. Some will say in contract term, leasehold. You know you have a lease. Whatever they are giving you a lease for is for a couple of years or months, you give it back to the owner. You see? So we must take note of all these things. So ownership right comes in it. And we say he is the God that created everything. Even Psalm 24 verse 1. Please, let's stand there quickly. Psalm 24 verse 1. It says, the heart is of the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it is of him. That is clear. That is ownership. It's of God. Just know that. Then we will consider, considering all this, it establishes the supremacy of God. And he is giving us that right, you know, giving us that opportunity that I own it, well, I give to you. Don't worry, take care of it. Now you can be the owner, but know that there is someone above you who is looking at you, how you are managing all those things. So we can see that sense of it. So I will take us further. The wonder of biblical stewardship is that God places an estimable value on us over every of his creation. He valued man so much, and he gave us that power, that ability. So we should have it in mind, what he has given. Another point here, which I would ask us to consider, is responsibility. We have to be responsible. If I give you something to be in your care, if things go right, it's your responsibility to make sure it goes right. If anything goes wrong, questions will be asked. Remember, in a layman's term, Minister Favour, she's head of the choir. Just as Minister Nkiru was praying this morning about, you know, love, care, and everything, she said to us, we have to love one another. It is not only in the church, even outside of the church. If anything goes wrong there, if there is conflict, if there is anything, she'll be responsible because she's answerable to pastor. You see where it's coming from. And we have to know that there is hierarchy when it comes to stewardship. Designation of jobs, duties. As pastor is leading us here, she has assigned duties and roles to each and every one of us. To make life easy for her, we have to be responsible for anything that is happening here. If I'm not doing my job properly here, I'm answerable to Minister Nkiru because she would call me. I like her, very respectful woman. She would say, Daddy, now look at myself. Am I Daddy? And I remember, yes. I'm Daddy. I'm Daddy, really. Thank you, ma, for reminding me. Because sometimes I'm still a boy. But after telling me Daddy, and I get home, my children shout, Daddy, Daddy, Dad, Dad, Dad. And I remember, yeah. There's responsibility here. You see? So I'm answerable to her. She's answerable to pastor. You can see that there is hierarchy again. But as it comes, we must take responsibility of everything. Let us know that we are responsible. Even here, God said we should use things and enjoy it as but not use it in the wrong way. Because I'm under Minister Nkiru doesn't mean my opinion does not count. It doesn't mean my opinion doesn't count. If I speak to her, she's the head. Pastor Winford will call me sometime. He will listen to what I'm saying. Can we see what is coming there? So everybody, they said, although God has given us all these things in abundance to enjoy, but we must know that nothing is ours. All things belong to God. However, we are responsible for how and what we do with the things entrusted in our care. You've been given. How do you do it? Is it your time? Is it how you manage your time? Is it how you manage the resources in your care? We have to be responsible for everything that we do. And this goes all around to fathers. Like I said, I'm a father in my own home. Daddy Owusu is a father. He's now a grandfather. You see? It goes on and on. Mommy Shobande is here. She's a mom, she's a grandmom. Can we see that everything that affects one from the top goes down to the bottom? We need to be careful. If God has entrusted us with things, whatever we do, they said it starts from our home. Then it goes into the church, goes into the heart of the community. A father must take care of his family. If we are a family that quarrels, that does not pray, it tells on the children. The children goes about with that. They go to the school. And people will see. Then social services will now start asking questions. They never ask the school, does it start here? They check from home. What is the problem in their home? They said, go there. Go and see what is happening. They start by asking you questions. Then we want to visit. Then they start, this is what your children said about you. This is what has been mentioned. Are you doing this? You know, it goes all about. Remember, God is giving us things in our, he has entrusted us with it. So our own action and responsibility tells a lot. We should know that we are doing this not for only ourselves. We can benefit from it. Well, we cannot just say everything is mine. People connected to us will also be part of it. So our responsibilities really matters. It talks about even the family, the church. It talks about church, worship leaders. The heart of the church starts from the worship, the team. Thank God for our choirs. Everyone, if there is argument, if there is misunderstanding, it will tell when they come out here. We can see from where we started is from praise and worship. Number doesn't count. This morning I was looking at my back. I saw, there's people still coming. Oh, thank God. I was saying inside of me, oh, thank God, people are coming. But number doesn't matter. God says where there are two or three people, his presence is there. We can see how our spirit was lifted this morning through the word of worship, through ministration from our worship team. We can see. So it goes into the church itself. It goes into the ministry, everything, even pastors, our pastor. God has placed us under our pastor, under their care. You know, we have to, pastor looks after us. At the same time, she's accountable to God. But to make her job easy, she has assigned to us duties, things to do. If the burden is too much on her, you know, it will affect her. She's answerable to God. We are answerable to her as well. So we all have responsibility, each of us. We are placed with one or two responsibilities. And God will help us even as we do that in the name of Jesus. Then it comes to nation, leaders of nations. Let's remind them. Let's remind them. When God says, oh, you become a leader, the thing is just because I bribe people to gain votes. No. Some of them, those who did, God has his way. Maybe through sickness, through war, through tribal this thing, they will have been killed. Some of them think, oh, it's just my own thinking, my own knowledge for me to come there. But remember, when they are taking that oath of office, they swear to an oath. That is why they tell them, swear. They will bring the Bible in front of a judge. They will say, and they don't know that they are committing themselves. That is why leaders too, they are accountable, they are responsible for what happens to the people, to the nation they are governing. That's why leaders too ask to be careful. It's not about embezzling all the time, but how are you doing with the people that God has placed in your care? Even nations, and we pray that God will help us. Every nation on the heart, God will help us in the name of Jesus. That those leaders, their ears will open to the word of God. And they will know that indeed there is someone up there who is higher above them in the name of Jesus. You know, presidents of nation, how they take good care of their people, you know, the people under them, even heads of school, what are you teaching the children? Some of them who want the word of God to be shared, they will close every chapter about the Bible. We should remind each and every one of us, we carry a responsibility. And there is God up there that is seeing everything that we are doing. As Christians, we must thank God for the great privilege we enjoy that we have been considered responsible, you know, by God to even entrust us with everything he has created. Don't let us take it for granted. It's a big privilege as Christians. Those who did not believe, let them stay there. But as Christians, we know that even everything we have, all that we enjoy, is through that power of God. Even see where God has placed you. Even sometimes, even in your workplace, look at the siblings behind you, those who can call you, and you can say, oh, I want to give you this. Look at the children God placed under us. How we look after them. We don't sleep sometimes because our kids, you know, they are somewhere. You don't relax. Even out, just yesterday we were playing. I took my son somewhere to play. And my little boy is always running around. I'm like, God help me. I have to run after him. Make sure he is okay. You know, things like that. You think I can do without them. But no, you're not. For the fact that they are in they are under your care, you have to look after them. I hope we see how all these things are taken, you know, from one state to the other. Then let's talk about accountability. We must never forget that we one day account for everything in our care. Just as Luke, our team for the month is Wonders of Biblical Stewardship. Let's remind ourselves. And you see what happened there. And Jesus was speaking in parables. He gave them. That was, the Bible said that the owner of, he gave them money that they should invest in it, look after it. Then when he came back, he asked them, he said, what have you done with all that I've given to you? Some people obeyed diligently because that's what the owner says. And some people did not. Some people said, because I know you to be a tough man, even you want to reap out of where you haven't sowed. He said, I'm not doing anything with it, because if I come with no gain, you would hold me responsible for it. He said, no, but you should have invested in it so I can take interest on my money. You see, these are things. Now, he was saying to them, Now come and give account of what I've given you, what I've entrusted in your care. You see where we're going there. So it came, and, you know, everyone was given. But we must exercise our dominion in accordance with the principle that has been established. This is the principle which God has established. He said, do it, use it well. You know, see as it's deemed fit. As God deems fit, not us. See as I think it is right. I, God, have told you this is the right way I want it to be. Just do it this way. This is, and God will help us because we have so many things we deal with in life. And, you know, even if you think you have not been assigned a duty, look at that duty in your home. The children under your care. Look at that beautiful wife which God has given to you. Look at that beautiful husband which God has given to you. Look after everything around you, even in your own home. We all have a address. We have a home. And God knows it. In the comfort of our room, our home, what do we do there? Is it pleasing to God? We are accountable to the master. And let's remember, the final one is the principle of reward. Remember, I started with two parties involved in stewardship. Then I spoke about, can someone remind me number two? Obedience. Thank you, Pastor. Then we talked about the trust. Then we came to ownership. Then now we went further from ownership. Then we mentioned what again? Thank you, Ma. Responsibility. Then we spoke of accountability. Then we have to remember that there is a reward for everything. There is a reward for everything. And Matthew 25:21 tells us, that reward, don't think that man will reward you. Everything you do, do it diligently for God. Church, let us do it. Even if Pastor Clara asked me to do something, I must have it in my mind that I'm not doing it for Pastor Clara. It's because God wants the job to be done. You see? So we have to know. It says, our Bible tells us that our reward is not here, but our reward is eternal life. We should remember that God will reward us with eternal life. A place where everything is made perfect for us, where everything becomes good. If man promises you, I will pay you after your service, some fails. We can see that court cases will come. Some people will be fighting each other. This is what he asked me to do, but he did not fulfill part of his promise. What we can see here, ultimately, stewardship, we expect a reward for our labor. But in Christian, we have to know that our expectation, our reward will come from God. And God helps us as we trust in him, in the name of Jesus. Having said all this, church, let's consider the life of a man in the Bible. And I will just do this quickly because of time. Let's consider that life of Joseph. We're still in Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 37. And we'll see what God said to us. You know, the Bible says to us about Joseph. What the Bible tells us. We can see that the Bible tells us that right from the tender age, remember, Joseph is the son of Jacob. That's the lineage of Abraham. God has blessed this generation. And here they come, from Isaac to Jacob, and now to Joseph. And God blessed Jacob with 12 sons. One of them is Joseph. You see, his brother Benjamin as well. And the Bible tells us that these children, these two were given to Jacob in his old age. And remember that Joseph, right from the little age, the Bible said to us that he helps. He helps even if his half-brothers. He helps his father. He gives his father account of everything that happens in the field with his brother. Even when his brothers go wrong, he reports to his dad, just like the little ones would do. Oh, daddy, daddy, someone has done this. Someone has done that. You know, because of that, he took a responsibility right from the young age. His father would send him to the field. He said, go and check on your brothers. give them food, look after them. He's been taking responsibility right from when he was young, you know. So when we can see, they tend their sheep, and God was with Joseph right from a little age. God was with him. Then Joseph said, the Bible said Joseph had a dream. We can read this story, it's long, but I'm just taking us through a process, and we'll see where God is leading us. So, and we can remember that Joseph, they said he is a boy with coat of many colors. His father gave him. But church, remember, this coat was the genesis of his problem. Right from the start, he's a dreamer boy. That is what his brother would say. They said, oh, the dreamer boy is coming. He had a dream. He narrated his dream to his father. His father kept it, but his father said to him, so are you going to rule over us? His brothers too. Because of that coat of many colors Joseph had, that was the genesis of his problem. His brothers hated him. And because he had a dream, he narrated his dream to them. And they're now saying to him, so you'll be ruling over us. Is that what it means? And they plan against him. Remember, that dream, that coat, was the genesis of Joseph's problem. Minister Nkiru was praying here this morning. That she said, we should uproot that root of hatred. If we can identify, sometimes if we cannot, we can pray fervently, and God will let the spirit of love reign amongst us. Remember, that was when Joseph first started his problem. Then the Bible takes us on. He said his brother planned for him. They even planned to kill him. But, you know, because God was with him, they now changed their plan. They said, let's throw him into a pit. After a while, they spotted the Midianite traders. They said, oh, there are traders here. Let's sold him into slavery. Joseph was sold into slavery. Church, he lost his father. He lost his brothers. The brothers he thought he loved, but they were in war with him. They took that clothes of many colors from him. They put blood. They said they slaughtered a goat or sheep. They put the blood on it. They took that coat to his father to show him. This is your son's coat. That coat he thought he was wearing, that it looks more important to you amongst us. See, we couldn't find, we believe he has been destroyed by a wild animal. But they sold him into slavery. That was when the journey began. And the Bible said to us that he was sold for 20 pieces of silver. You see how they undervalued him. A person that God stays with. Joseph had the presence of God in his life. He was sold for cheap. He wasn't meant to be sold into slavery because God was with him. But church, please follow this message. Just follow it in line. God is taking us somewhere. And I believe it would take us to that place where we'll understand him in the name of Jesus. He was sold to the Midianites. Then the Midianites sold Joseph to Potiphar. Potiphar, remember, was an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh. He was a captain of the palace guard. He was a high rank officer in the military. They would say they are general. I believe so. Amma. Yes. He is of a high rank. So they sold him there. But what are we saying? Because of Joseph, because God was with Joseph, remember, from his very young age, he listens to God. He is a good child that listens. Even he listens to his father. He knows that he's been assigned a duty right from his home. And he was diligently following it. And the Bible continues to tell us that God was with Joseph. When he got to Potiphar's house, Potiphar saw him. He saw the anointing upon him, that grace which Joseph carried. He said, I'm going to put you in charge of everything in my house. Joseph was placed in charge. Potiphar entrusted Joseph with all that he had. He was only a slave. Why would a master consider a slave so important and say, I'm giving you? But because Joseph obeyed since he was little, God was with him. And he found favor when he got to Potiphar's house. But we need to be careful. I think this is where we need to pray. And remember, prayer is important. There was Potiphar's wife, who is a challenge to this. The Bible tells us that Joseph was built. He was a tall and handsome guy. God will help those who are tall and handsome. God created us beautifully. Don't worry, church. In his own image. So we should trust in that. We all look very handsome and, you know, handsome and huge, you know. They said he was well built and handsome. Potiphar's wife said, come and sleep with me. But Joseph said, no, please, I would never do this. Please, let's go quickly and read Genesis 39. Genesis 39, please, because of time, if anyone is there, just read Genesis chapter 39. From verse 2. Genesis 39 from verse 2.
And the Lord was present, and he was
a We're reading down to 8, ma'am. 2 to 8. Genesis chapter 39, 2 to 8.
39, 2 to 8. I read. Yes. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Yes. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Yes. And he served him. And he made him overseer over his house. Yes. And all that he had, he put into his hands. 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me, 8, the last verse. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master worth not what is with me in the house. And he had committed all that he had to my hand.
Thank
Praise
you,
the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, ma'am. We can church, are we following this message? We can see that when God took Joseph, when his brother sold him into slavery, that was when God began to gather those pieces of puzzles together. God is building something up in his life. He was sold into slavery, remember. But when he got to Potiphar's house, this was when we say stewardship begins again. Potiphar saw him. He saw something unique in Joseph. He saw something great in him. He said, take charge of all these things. And Potiphar's wife came to me and said, lie down with me. He said, no. Why did he say no? Because Joseph knew all along that God has been helping him. Where he was wasn't comfortable for him, but he knew he could have died. Instead of death, he was sold into slavery. That is life, hope of life. When he was sold into slavery, he came there. And Potiphar took him in charge. He said, and be in charge of all these things. Though he's a slave, he could be thrown into the prison and be brought out of the prison and be taken out to do hard labor, be taken back into prison. We know how they do slaves in those days. Even up to now, they still put chains in their legs and things. But he said to Potiphar, I am accountable to God and to your husband. Why will I do such? Because he has the fear of God inside of him. He said, your husband has entrusted me with everything he has. I will never do that. If it's just ordinary pressing, he said, who will see me? That will be the thing. I can eat my cake and have it. Probably will sleep with Potiphar's wife and just say, go on with it. But Joseph knew that the anointing upon him, it would not because of one day pleasure break that anointing. That good which God has deposited inside of him. We're still continuing. Then when she knew she couldn't have her way, she got Joseph into trouble. Joseph escaped. When he was escaping, he had to leave his clothes in her hands. She had that. She held on to it as an evidence. She said, I will show this to everyone. She showed it. When Potiphar came, he believed. But God still spared Joseph. If Potiphar reacted from his anger, he could have cut Joseph's head. And that would be the end of him. But the Bible says, because God was with him, he was good. Church, wherever we go, the good Lord will be with us. Even in our life, in our home, in our place as stewards, God will be with us. He will direct us, he will guide us. Joseph went to prison. And in that prison, even when he got to prison, the prison official saw him. They saw something very good in him again. They said, head this prison. Everything in charge of this prison is going to be under your control. Remember, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, Pharaoh's chief baker, they got into problem with Pharaoh. He brought them down to that prison. And when they came, high-ranked officers, this prison officer said to them, be under this man, Joseph. He is going to look after you. Remember, they had a dream. They narrated their dream to Joseph. Joseph is good at interpreting dreams. He did not boast of his power, church. He did not boast of his power. When Joseph was told that this is the dream we heard, he said to them, it is God that interprets dream. He did not say, it is me, Joseph. Because he knew that authority and power which God has placed inside of him. He said to them, it is only God. And I'm sure before he interpreted their dreams, he prayed. And God said to him, these and these are what will happen when these people have told you about the dreams they had. And it came to pass. You see? That dream which they had, he explained to each and every. He said, you will be restored. He said to the chief cupbearer, he said, you will be restored back to your position. He said to the chief baker, it's not a good news for him though. He said, this is what will happen to you. And everything happened. Now, he said to that chief cupbearer, Joseph said, please, in Genesis 40, because of time, I will just say this. He said in Genesis 40, church, please write it down. You can go through it. In 14 to 15, he said, Joseph appealed to the chief cupbearer. He said to them, I was sold into slavery. The position I am today is not where I should be. Church, is there anyone here with a question? That God that was with Joseph is still alive. He hears us and he listens. Brother Oti came out and he was saying something this morning. He said he was looking forward to that job he got. Because God has heard him when he was crying then. He thought there is a time gap in between it. But no, because he put his trust in God and God did what he answered him. Joseph said to that cupbearer, he said, please, if you go back to your position, he said, please mention me to Pharaoh that this is where I am. But God, the Bible told us something here, that the promise of man are lies. Trust in God. A good steward will expect his reward from God, not from man. The Bible says to us that after 2 years, that man got back into his position, the chief cupbearer. He forgot all about Joseph. He did not mention to Pharaoh. He would say to himself, me, a general of the army, because things went wrong with me, I met you in prison. Who are you? A slave. Telling me I should remind Pharaoh, the king, about you. Why do you think it would be so important to him to hear Well, I'm saying to someone here that the God Almighty will open a book to remember us in the name of Jesus. He will open a chapter. Even when the world thinks that our world and our things are not important, a time will come. And what happened after 2 years? That man, the chief cupbearer, mentioned nothing to Pharaoh. You see, chief cupbearer, he forgot all about Pharaoh. That's Genesis 40, chapter 23. Genesis chapter 40, verse 23, please. Genesis 40 and verse 23. Please, if we go there quickly. He said he mentioned nothing. 40:23. Thank you, ma. He forgot him. He did not mention anything. He said, why will I, in his mind, he would be like, why will I mention you? No, there's nothing important about you. Then Pharaoh himself, God that Joseph was serving, remembered him. Pharaoh himself now had a dream. The Bible said he woke up. And again, he had this dream. He called all the wise men, all the sorcerers, all the magicians. No one could interpret his dream. That was when God remembered. Joseph was remembered in the prison where he was. He was brought out of the prison. What did the Bible say to us? He said when he wanted to appear before Pharaoh, he was shaved. Remember that clothes which his brother took away from him, where they buried. They thought they buried his destiny. They thought they buried everything good about him. The Bible said to us, they shaved him. I'm sure after shaving, he would have washed his hair with shampoo. Clean, he was appearing before king, people in high authority. It's his turn to appear. He was brought out of prison. That cloth of shame he was wearing, that prison number which they gave to him, everything dropped. That thing he was carrying, the dirty linen when he was carrying in prison. You see people in prison. I think prison here, they give them to, they can shower, they can shave, they can do everything. But I think then it's bad. Even he was enjoying that prison there, he wasn't comfortable, he was made a leader. But you can see a prisoner is a prisoner. He has a prison number. Here they will put on prison clothes on them. He had it, but what did God do? God took all those clothes away from him, of grief, of sorrow, of shame. He appeared before Pharaoh with a good robe. That clothes of many colors, of grace, of glory, that God put in him, was put back on him, and he appeared. He said to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord is saying. When Pharaoh called him again, he said, he did not boast of anything. He said the Lord interprets dream. He wants Pharaoh to know that it is my God. And he was still, if we find ourselves in that position, many people will have given up church. From his father, he lost his home, his family. He was moved from Canaan down to Egypt as a slave. You see what happened? He was a slave. Then he was sold into Potiphar. Potiphar saw him, made him, he got into problem, he got into prison. One thing after the other. But God was building up that pieces of puzzle. You see what God was doing? Building up the piece of puzzles for Joseph. And there comes, he appeared before Pharaoh with clean clothes, with that glory, with that anointing upon him. And the Bible says God was with him. When he got to Pharaoh, he narrated that dream to Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh narrated the dream to Joseph. Joseph now interpreted that dream. He said, a time will come for plenty. A time will come when there will be scarcity, famine in the land. Pharaoh said, please, what would we do? What can we do to make up for those days of famine? He said to him, get someone, build a storage, put someone in charge. Now, church, where is this leading us? There has to be someone to be in charge. Because Joseph listened to God. He obeyed. At that time, he persevered those pains, those anguish. He persevered all the troubles he went through. Are you here today? Have you come with any question? That Lord of Joseph is still here. Which clothes are you wearing? In which situation have you found yourself? When the Lord opened Joseph's chapter, he took away all those garments of shame, All those garments, all those prison numbers. Now he clothed him with a beautiful robe. He appeared before Pharaoh. Not only that, the Bible said to us that Pharaoh made him governor. He said, can we find a wise man as this man? They couldn't find anyone. The anointing of God was upon Joseph. He was put, then Pharaoh put him in that post. He said, just be there. He said, I will not be worried for anything. Everybody in this land will report to you. You will give them, you will look after everything here. He said, you will rise on horses and chariots. The next in command to me will be you. Is there anyone believing God for that? I don't know what you are going through. I'm speaking to myself as well. But God is saying to us, whatever number you carry, Joseph carried that prison number. He carried that thing. So many things with him. If man was going to give Joseph that thing, they will ask for his DBS or church. Because he has things on him. Mommy, they won't give him. They will not give him because what? He has a criminal record. But in the eyes of God, he knows what he's doing. Because God has a plan and purpose for Joseph. Joseph was in charge because God was with him. And all the rest became story. God restored him back to his family. All those glory which his brothers thought they have buried. All the good things in his life. All those dreams that he told them that this is what is going to happen. God was now building. You see what God was, pieces of puzzles was being built. God was building everything. Everything. From one stage to the other. Everything became a process. And God perfected it in him. We know the story of Joseph. We can talk about so many things. But we see. And God restored him back to his father. When he saw his brother, the Bible said he turned his eyes back. And he cried. Why? Because he remembered that God. This is the dream I had. So this is where you are going to lead me. Now these brothers have come. They've bowed before. What did he say to them? He said, you are spies. He knew they were his brothers. But he lied to them. They were saying, my Lord. No, we are not spies. We have only come to buy grain because we don't have any where we were. He said, but prove to me that this is what you can do. He said, hold, leave your brother. But he gave them, he brought down his father, they brought down their family, they brought down everything. Everything. And he saw it. And Joseph, you know, God restored him back to every lost glory. Let's just think of all this and think of what God has done. Which position are you? Where have you found yourself? The God Almighty is here today. And I believe he has ministered into each and every one of us. This is a challenge for us. God put together everything from Canaan down to Egypt. Whatever you are going through, know that there is God. Coat of many colors, to coat of slavery, to that coat of imprisonment, to the garment of shame. Now God moved him to garment of glory. From beauty to ashes. Finally, let's check Isaiah 61 verse 3. What it says as we round up. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Please, mommy, if you are there, you can read to us quickly, please. Verse 3. Yes. Yes.
The oil of joy for mourning.
Yes.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness,
yes,
that they might be called trees of righteousness, yes, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Church, as we round up, we can see what the reward of a good steward is. We can see what a good steward can enjoy in God. Obedience matters. When we can see everything that we've mentioned today. When we follow them, God is at work in our life. They thought they've buried the glory of Joseph. They thought that coat of many colors would never appear again. But God has his plan. I pray that even as we believe him, it will take us out of our shame to glory in the name of Jesus. That the good Lord will finish that work he has started in our lives in the name of Jesus. It will perfect everything that concerns us in the mighty name of Jesus. It will move us from glory to glory. His church from glory to glory. His ministry from glory to glory. Our lives will move from glory to glory in the name of Jesus. That of our children, our home, our finances, everything that surrounds us in the name of Jesus. Daddy will thank you. Let's rise up, church. My hope is in the name of the Lord. My hope is in the name of the Lord. For the Lord our God is mighty. My hope is in the name of the Lord. My joy is in the name of the Lord. My joy is in the name of the Lord. For the Lord our God is mighty. My joy is in the name of the Lord. My life is in the name of the Lord. My life is in the name of the Lord. For the Lord our God is mighty. Our lives is in the name of the Lord. This is our declaration today, Father. Our hope, our joy, our life is in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Daddy, because you've molded us, you have shaped us, even for greater glory. Daddy, as we receive of you today, let this blessing be permanent in our lives in the name of Jesus. Even as good stewards, we ask that the Holy Spirit will remind us at all times that we are doing this for God and not for man. And Daddy, we pray that you will reward us mightily in the name of Jesus. Daddy, we will not labor in vain, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. We will not labor in vain, O Lord. But Daddy, we pray that in the name of Jesus, that you will reward us bountifully in the name of Jesus. Thank you for all you've done for us today. Thank you for your word that has come powerfully today. Thank you for blessing us, O Lord. Thank you for opening our eyes into the wonders of your word. That even as we go out of here today, we ask that your blessings will follow us in the name of Jesus. That we will live our life for Christ. But we'll remember that the good rewarder is our Father in heaven in the name of Jesus. Bless the work of our hand, O Lord. Give us peace in our home, in our lives, O Lord. In our ministries, in our nation, O Lord. And let your name be glorified forever. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.
Yeah.